about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in today. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 92, and then going to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Psalm 92 to begin with, and then Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Psalm 92, beginning at verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Verses 1 through 15, Psalm 92. Then looking in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, time to break down and time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Verses 1 through 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom found in your word. Thank you for the power and the anointing and the grace that is found in your word. Thank you for the fact that your word is full of each of these and so, so much more. Lord, with every passing day, help us to grow in our understanding of the great and very important place your word needs to play in the life of every single believer. Help us more and more to be the diligent and faithful students of your word, believers who read and meditate on your word day and night, who are continually filling our hearts and our minds with your word and continually aggressively walking in obedience to that word. Help us to know, Lord, that your word is a guidebook, a power book, a grace book to guide us at every step in life. Thank you for the privilege of having it. In Jesus' name we do pray. And Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for blessing us to come through the election. Thank you for blessing us with a new president. Lord, thank you for your hand of grace upon the new president-elect. Father, anoint our new president with wisdom, with grace and direction as he moves towards taking office soon. Lord, empower him to be a righteous leader that honors you in the things he says, the decisions he makes, the directions he takes, and the vision that he leads our nation forward with. And help us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be faithful to pray much for him every day. Thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for being a part of our listening family today. Again, we appreciate all that are listening in today. And, of course, probably basically everyone knows at this point in time, Donald Trump is the president-elect. And It's important for us as the church to know we should thank and praise God for a president that's going to seek to stand for life and stand for righteousness and help us, and may each of us take it upon ourselves to be faithful to pray much every day. Because remember, whoever the president is, it's whatever person that might be, man or woman, the fact is each president is an imperfect human being that needs a lot of grace and a lot of prayer. So let's be faithful to pray on a daily basis, on a regular basis, to pray much for our president-elect. And, of course, continue to pray for our present president, President Obama, as he finishes his time in office, and the president-elect as he prepares to take office in several weeks. Today, as we're looking into the Word of God, wanting you to focus on the topic of being about our Father's business. Again, being about our Father's business. And I want to point your attention to Luke chapter 2. And as we look at a story there, it has an important message for every believer in every circumstance. Because remember, as believers, the Great Commission is directed to each and every one of us. We're to go into all the world and make disciples. Now, you know, it's important for us as believers to understand what that means. And today, as we look at the topic of being about our Father's business, we want to encourage you to do some just soul searching and perspective searching as well. Keep in mind, of course, the election of a new president is an important milestone in the life of a nation, any nation. And it's important for us as believers to really understand what did and didn't happen, and also to understand our part as well. Remember, though we have a new president, and thank God for our new president-elect, but keep in mind, it's important for us to know God has work for every believer to do, and we shouldn't think that all the responsibilities of helping to lead the nation in the right direction fall on the president's shoulders. It's partly his responsibility, but in a sense, it's just as much your responsibility as well. So I want to invite you to look with me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and I want you to really pay attention to this very important story. This is Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41. Again, Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Again, Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Now, again, focusing especially on verse 49, which is the response the boy Jesus gave to his parents when they found him in the temple in Jerusalem. They wanted to know, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have anxiously sought you out." And Jesus' response to his parents, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, again, Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, even then, was growing in his sense of the call of God upon his life. Now, keep this very important point in mind. Every believer is called to a life of obedience, a life of hearing the Word of God, hearing the Spirit of God, and obeying the Word and the Spirit of God as well. And as we look as a nation at the work of us beginning a new era, as we begin under new national leadership, remember, again, it's every believer's responsibility, not just the president, not just the members of Congress, not just a few leaders. Every believer has responsibility in helping to build the kingdom of God. Well, you might say, "Well, I'm not a political leader. I've never been and don't expect to be. And what can I really do?" Well, the fact is, all of us have responsibility along certain lines. One is, all of us are supposed to pray. Now, remember this. Lots of prayer and intercession went up for the campaign and for our nation during the campaign season. But remember this, every single prayer that was prayed made a difference. You should never make the mistake of thinking, well, my prayers don't really make that big, they're not that big a deal and don't really make a difference. Yes, they will. Now, remember this, it's not until we get to heaven that we'll be able to learn and understand many of these truths. But remember this very important truth. The Bible says about the prayers of a believer that our prayers are powerful and effective. That's what it says in the book of James. They're powerful and effective. So you shouldn't speak lightly or insignificantly about your prayer life if God says that your prayers are powerful and effective. I would hope that would encourage you to make prayer a higher priority for yourself. But also remember, we're clearly told in the Word of God we're to pray for leaders, for those who are in authority. So the prayers you prayed during the campaign season were important. The prayers you'll pray for President Obama in his last days are important. The prayers you'll pray for the new president, incoming President Donald Trump, they will be important as well. Never think your prayers don't make a difference. The Bible clearly tells us in, again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we're to pray for kings and those who are in authority. So remember, you should pray every day for the president, the vice president, members of Congress, members of the Supreme Court. They need your prayers. So praying for them is an important part of how, one of the ways that we will be about our Father's business. So understand this, all of us are called to pray. And remember, your prayer life should consist of praying, obviously, for yourself, but also you should pray for your family members. You should pray for more distant relatives as well. But also pray for your job and the people on your job. But also it's important that you're praying daily that God would help you fulfill the call of God upon your life. Now, that's very, very important. Now, sadly, many believers, if you ask them, what do you think God has called you to do? Lots of believers may think, I have no idea. Well, that's tragic because any believer that desires to find out the call of God upon their life, they can find it, but you have to pursue it. It's important to pursue that call. Now, I can tell every single listener this, God is calling every one of us to make prayer a high priority in our lives. So part of our calling is to be a person given to prayer, but also every one of us is called to be a faithful student of the Word of God. Now, there are circumstances where sometimes people don't have access to a Bible or don't have a copy of the Word of God. Well, that's tragic, but the fact is God'll hold you responsible for what you have access to. So if a person doesn't have access to a Bible, then they're just to make the most of what they do have. They may have a few scriptures memorized. But now if you have a Bible, then you need to be faithfully and diligently studying that Word of God, which is a very important weapon and tool to help equip you for the work God is calling you to do. So part of being about our Father's business is being a person given to prayer, who prays again for yourself, obviously for your family, pray for the issues of your own life and that of your family, but also pray much for your nation. Pray again for the leaders of the nation and pray for the leaders of the nations of the world. But you need to be praying much about the matters centering around the call of God upon your life. And remember, if you don't know what God is calling you to do, you need to be pursuing that aggressively. Because remember, fulfilling your call in life is very much what your purpose is in life. You're here for God. We're not here just to make money and have a career and to have a house and a car, a cat and a dog, a husband, a wife, children, to make money, grow up, grow older, retire, and go travel or eat. No, we're here for God. So remember, finding out the call of God is very important, and we'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel. They want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. Have you ever been around someone or known someone who knew it all? They wanted to impress others all the time and refused to lose in front of other people. Well, for as much as you might make a smirk, all too often, we too have been in a situation where we don't want others to make us look bad. Nobody would ever know it because we do all within our power to save face. But I'm so glad that with Christ, I don't have to look good all the time. In fact, it's better for me if I don't. If we constantly feel like we've always got to come out on top of every situation, looking untouched and smelling like a rose, then we are in bondage. Free yourself today and take on what I call the Spirit of Esther. If you come out with a few scrapes and bruises, take one or the vine and know that God's grooming you and molding you. You never know who's looking to see how humble you are in your trials. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
You
The music of Forever Jones, the song Every Moment. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm going to share with you the call-in number. If you'd like to call in and share reactions that are on your heart or mind on the other side of the election here, we want to give you that opportunity today. That number is 1-866-963-2037. Again, that's 1-866-963-2037. If you want to share just what your thoughts are, what's on your heart as you think about what happened in this election that just took place. And again, lots and lots of people are happy and lots of people aren't so happy. Well, again, keep in mind, the important thing is that it's important that we're committed to being about our Father's business, whether you're on the happy side or the not so happy side. But remember this, the important thing is God's will is to be done. We're to pursue getting God's work and will done. Once again, that number is 1-866-963-2037. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. Our nation elected basically a president that stands for life, a House and Senate that are standing for life as well, basically a pro-life president, House and Senate as well. Now, that is so important because remember this, lots of people didn't think the life issue was really that big a deal, but the reality is this. Again, it's one of, if not the most important issue that was being looked at in this election cycle. The reason being is because remember this, God creates life. And God in no uncertain terms in one of the Ten Commandments told us, you shall not murder, that is, you'll not take innocent life. Tragically, for so many people, that was a small issue, but it wasn't for God. And I believe what we witnessed was the hand of God intervening to bring to the presidency a leader that would protect life and would stand for life. I believe very much so that's part of what we saw happen. Because, again, the other person really was very much for abortion right up until the moment of conception. And for those persons that thought this was not a big deal, again, you just don't really understand. To God, life is very important, and it should be very important to us as well. So, again, keep in mind, every life counts in the heart and the mind of God, and that should be true for us. I believe very much so. It's time now for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to really roll up our sleeves and everyone do their part. Remember, all of the responsibility for getting things done is not on the shoulder of just the new president and Congress and the Senate. Every believer has a responsibility to pray for God's will to be done. Again, all of us are to be about our Father's business. Remember, when you stand up, stand for what's right, stand for justice, stand for that which honors God, God will be pleased with that. And also God will use you in the corner wherever, you know, whoever you might be, wherever God has called you to be, God will use it then. So I want you to keep that in mind. Each of us is to be about our Father's business every single day. Once again, that number is 1-866-963-2037. 1-866-963-2037. Now, also keep in mind, I've shared before something I'm going to ask and invite you to help us with. I want to invite you to be praying with us about, an important point to be praying about, is, for example, I pastor two congregations in the Mississippi Delta. And the fact is, St. James Church in Leland, Mississippi, and Disney Chapel in Greenville, Mississippi, serve as the pastor of both of those congregations. Mississippi Delta is in the western portion of the state of Mississippi. It's a part of the state where they're at present, there are two main pregnancy clinics, whereas that's a huge part of the state. One of our projects is that we're believing God to guide us in raising up the staff and the money to purchase a mobile pregnancy clinic that will serve much of western Mississippi, serve a couple universities that are in that part of the state, Delta and western Mississippi, but also communities that don't have close access to a pregnancy clinic. Now, the fact is there are a lot of believers, they don't even know what a pregnancy clinic is. Sometimes believers make the mistake of them. Sometimes they even think abortions happen in those places. Well, let me be very clear. Pregnancy clinics are wonderful, powerful ministries in our culture that God has raised up all over our nation. Basically, they provide free services for women who find themselves pregnant in a difficult time and place in life. And the work they do is very, very important. Again, all their services are free. And they provide free ultrasounds, free pregnancy tests, often provide free baby clothes and baby items for young moms and just a number of wonderful services. Again, all of them are free. Now, if you don't know what a pregnancy clinic is or you don't know where your nearest one is, I want to challenge you, find out where it is. Find out where it is because, again, remember this, if nothing more you can know, you can be praying for them, but also it would be good for you to volunteer your time. Decide that you'll volunteer time to help them with what they do, but also give financially. But clearly, keep in mind, lots of spiritual warfare happens around every pregnancy clinic. And so pray much for God's will to be done in and around these places. So remember this, again, the work of standing for life and helping to end abortion is not just the responsibility of a president and members of Congress and the Supreme Court. It's the responsibility of every single believer, every single believer. So keep that in mind. Now, we do have looks like we've got a caller on the line. And so keep in mind also, we'll be able to take that call in just a moment, but I want you to keep this very important point in mind. It's important for us to know this. One, let me give you that number one more time. 1-866-963-2037. We should be able to get that call on the line in just a moment. 1-866-963-2037. Okay. Looks like, is that Lisa on the line? Okay. Are you there, Lisa?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Pastor Parker.
Oh, doing fine. How are you today?
I am fine. I am one of your ex-church members.
Okay. Okay.
Turner Chapel in Columbus, Mississippi.
All right. Well, we appreciate you tuning in today. Thanks for listening in. Did you want to make a comment? Did you want to ask a question?
Yes, I just had a comment.
Okay. What would you like to share today?
I just say it's really crucial. I would like to share about the voting.
Mm-hmm.
That the churches really teach.
Okay. Lisa, could you take time to turn your radio off? We're getting some feedback behind you, okay?
I think it's very important that a church and a pastor or a leader takes time to really expound on what a candidate really stands for. I mean, me, myself, all my life, I've been Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've known, and that's the way I've always voted.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I found your radio station, I think, probably about a year ago.
Okay.
And to listen to Miki and her husband in the morning time and listen to your show,
mm-hmm.
it has really opened my eyes on okay. a lot of things.
Okay. Well, glad to hear
and
that.
And I thank God that I found the radio station to listen to because mm-hmm. it's true. And that's what we need nowadays. We don't need anything to be sugar-coated. We don't need anybody to spare our feelings or don't want to hurt our feelings. We need the God-known truth to be told.
Mm. That's exactly right,
and I
Lisa.
Thank your radio station for delivering that.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy listening to it. I listen to it every day. And also, I have a grandson. Yesterday, he asked me, after the election, who did you vote for?
Mm-hmm.
And when I told him, he looked at me 5 minutes later. He said, well, why didn't you like this person? I said, it's not that I didn't like this person. I had to go with my spiritual thoughts, my spiritual beliefs, and that's why I stood on what
mm-hmm.
I stood on.
Right. Mm.
And I just wanted to share that. Teach our kids what says the Bible, what the Bible represents, what the Bible teaches,
mm-hmm.
and the truth of the Bible. And they're not too young to learn. He's only 9 years old, but he wanted to know why I chose to
mm-hmm.
vote for the person I did. And I had to explain it to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We
okay.
need to teach kids at an early age, not
mm-hmm.
wait and say they don't understand or they're not old enough, because they are. They understand a whole lot more than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
But I appreciate time, Pastor Parker. It's nice talking to you again. May
okay.
God bless you.
All right. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for calling in. And Lisa, you said a whole lot. You really, really did. In that, because, you know, our children are watching us and they're wanting to know why we do what we do. And it's so important that we're grounded in the powerful Word of God. Because, you know, as it relates to this election, there really were lots of feelings and opinions flying back and forth. And often people were very passionate about their thoughts and their feelings one way or another about their candidate. But if you'd ask them, well, can you give me a biblical reason why you want to support this person or why you want to vote for this person or not vote for this other person? Many believers wouldn't have been able to give a good answer. But on the other hand, I think of this, that again, and Lisa, again, you made several very important points. But of course, we need to not only know why we do what we do and have it based on the Word of God, but we also need to be able to teach our children why we do what we do. Well, of course, you know, one of the issues that we deal with, we've dealt with so heavily, actually, as it relates to, as a ministry, the life issue. Well, the fact is, one of the candidates clearly felt like that abortion was okay right up until the moment before the baby would be born. Well, the fact is, again, that's against the Word of God. That's against the will of God. Well, the other candidate said that they wanted to help end abortion. Well, again, that's a huge difference in the candidate's perspective. So again, the key is not for me to say, well, who are my family going to vote for, or who is my community going to vote for? The question is, what does the Word of God say? And what are my actions? If I'm going to honor God, what should my actions be? What should my decision be? So again, just several of the points, Lisa, you made were so, so important. And we, again, not only need to just depend on the Word of God for guidance, but it's important for us to be able to take the Word of God and use it as a tool to teach our children what's right, what's wrong. And I don't know how many times I'd hear people say, well, the reason I'm not voting for this candidate or that candidate is because they're racist. Well, the fact is, in a sense, you might be able to find racism in everybody, black, white, whoever. Again, but look for biblical reasons that honor God about why you do whatever you do, whether it's voting or anything else. And so, again, Lisa, really, really do appreciate you sharing that powerful, powerful point and powerful, powerful word. Lord, thank you for persons like Lisa, parents and grandparents who are seeking to honor you in their lives as believers wherever you've called them to be. More and more, help us to be a people that are reading and studying your word and being guided by your word every single day. Help us to know, Lord, that whoever we are, wherever you've placed us, we're to be vessels that you will use to glorify, please, and honor you. Father, we thank you and praise you for your guidance. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us, who directs us, who helps us to make decisions that honor you in every step, in every circumstance, in every part of life. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you again, the number, if you'd like to call in and share a thought or a question, the number is 1-866-963-2037. Again, 1-866-963-2037. We'll be right back.
It's time again to bless lives with American Family Radio and Operation Christmas Child.
There are so many children out there just like me who have never heard of Jesus or experienced his everlasting love. This shoebox changes lives like it changed mine so many years ago.
National Collection Week is November 14th through the 21st. Get more information at samaritanspurse.org/OCC. And thanks for partnering with American Family Radio to share the love of Christ through Operation Christmas Child.
Hi, I'm Franklin. My drug habit brought me down hard. I almost lost my life, but I made the decision to give Teen Challenge a try. And what's happened since then has been so incredible.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
A lot of us are concerned about what's going on in Washington these days, and rightfully so. But Dr. Tony Evans says that our first concern ought to be what's going on a little closer to home. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If you want to have transformation in society, you've got to first have disciples in the sanctuary. You must have the full working of the Spirit's way in the life of the family of God. The challenge today in the vision of our ministry, in the vision of our church, is to develop a congregation that is full of the Spirit of God, because when you're full of the Spirit of God, you're full of life. If Jesus isn't the answer in here among those who know him, he can't be the answer out there to those who don't. If God is a 90-pound weakling in here, he's anemic out there. If there is no food in here, they're going to be starving out there. In order for electricity to illuminate a dark room, the bulb must be filled first. In order for light to fill a dark room, the bulb must get full of electricity so that it can light up everywhere around it. The role of the church is to bring life to the society, but it first must experience that life itself.
That's why Dr. Evans says our nation won't turn to God until the church returns to God. He explains how that can happen in his book called America. It uncovers the roots of our country's moral and cultural decline and spells out a biblical plan for renewal that will really work. Get details today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
There was a blind man on the roadside, and he heard a commotion. Yeah. It was Jesus passing by with a crowd, and he stirred his emotion. Oh, he didn't displace his whole life. Should he
of Fred Hammond, Please Don't Pass Me By. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Once again, if you'd like to call in and share a thought or a reaction to the election that just took place, once again, you can call this number 1-866-963-2037. Again, 1-866-963-2037. Let me remind every single believer, as we look today at the topic of being about our Father's business, remember this. One of the reasons why it's so important to be a student of God's Word, that is someone who reads the Word of God consistently, and like, I want to remind you, I like to encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day. One of the reasons that's so important is because that's a critical way whereby you stay plugged into a close walk with God. Staying in the Word of God helps you to be tuned into the heart and the mind of God. It helps you to stay in close fellowship with God. In fact, God is talking directly to you when you read the Word of God. So you're talking to the Creator of the universe. So again, if you're a listener who's not been reading your Bible consistently, today is a good day to start that very important habit. Again, at least 3 chapters a day is a good, good basic spiritual meal, and it'll bless you in all kinds of ways. And it'll begin to, again, it allows the Spirit of God to work on your mind and your heart to help you to begin to conform and become more and more like Christ Jesus in your thoughts, your actions, your attitude, and your whole perspective, your whole way of life. So Start today reading the Word every day. Again, 3 chapters at least I would recommend. And challenge someone else to do the very same thing, because for many people, if you'll challenge them to do that, many of the people that you know, if you'll do that, you would be the only person that will do that in their life, and you will bless them, and sooner or later, they'll probably come back and tell you, thank you so much for challenging and encouraging me to start reading my Bible every day. I never heard that challenge before, and I started, and I haven't stopped. Thanks so much. So make it your goal to be in the Word every day and challenge others to do the very same thing. So again, as we look at the topic of, again, being about our Father's business, remember, again, all of us, each one of us is a vessel God wants to use to do very, very important things in the kingdom of God. So being in the Word every day, but also praying every day as well, is very important as well. Keep this in mind as we're looking, or we're talking in part as it relates to the election. The life issue was just one of many issues, but it's an issue that I especially emphasize myself in ministry because it's such an important, critical issue. You know, in all my years in the ministry, it's in one area where I've seen some of the most devastation in families and homes. A scene that's too common is, say, for example, a 15-year-old girl, she gets pregnant, and the mom or the dad and the mom together may decide that they want her. They feel like the best thing for her to do is to get an abortion. And sadly, many times parents think that it's their right to do that. Well, typically, the parents don't realize that's actually against the law. And actually, they could be prosecuted for doing that. But sadly, a lot of parents don't know that. But it's too typical that many times the parents will just decide they're going to make their teenage daughter get an abortion. And often will even schedule an abortion and just decide, well, we're going to run to this city or this town, take care of this, and don't do this anymore. Well, again, that's against the law, but many parents don't know that, and many times the teenagers don't know it either. But if they do that, and when they go through with the abortion, it's one of the saddest things you'll ever want to run into, because I don't know how many times I've seen the tragedy of a situation where the parents come to realize that not only did the daughter not get over it in a few weeks, months later, years later, decades later, she didn't ever fully get over it. Sometimes you have a daughter that may be estranged from her dad and mom because she still is remembering, dad and mom made me kill my baby. What a tragedy. But see, if we would simply read the Word of God and walk in its wisdom, we wouldn't even have to go down that tragic road. If we just look at the Word of God, which says you shall not murder, in other words, you shall not take innocent life, when the young lady ends up pregnant, well, the fact is dad and mom can realize abortion is not an option because of what the Word of God says. And, you know, time and time again, when you have parents that they're thinking, well, abortion is the best thing, but then they just decide to not go that route, or for whatever reason they decide not to do that. When the baby's born, it's almost comical to see that the people that fall in love with the baby more than almost anybody else is the granddad and the grandmom of the baby. And their thoughts are, how in the world could I have ever thought about killing this beautiful baby boy, this beautiful baby girl? And the reality is all of them are beautiful. All of the boys, all of the girls, they're beautiful children made in the image of God. And so when the church preaches and teaches the Word of God, we save people and families from so much heartache, so much depression, so many problems. So it's important for the church to be aggressive about doing our job. So thank God that, we do have a new national leader, and we're to pray for him. But remember this, he's not the only one that has important work to do. Congress has important work to do. So the Supreme Court does as well. But every single listener, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have very important work to do as well. You know, I want to share this too. Now, you know, one of the events that we do that addresses the life issues, we have an event, we call it a Festival for Life. And we've done, over the last several years, we've done a little over 40 of these events. And basically, we go to different parts of the country as well as here locally to do them in churches. It's a multimedia event that uses movie clips, movie trailers, and music videos to help share a biblical message about the need for the church to stand for life and against abortion. Now, the fact is, again, we try to do them often. We did a one in Memphis a couple weeks ago and did one in Tutwiler, Mississippi, about 2.5 weeks ago as well. We can take the event anywhere, but, you know, too often when we pursue doing them, Like, well, for example, sometimes a church may call and may ask us, can you come bring a festival to our church? Sure we can. We're glad to bring it. But when we pursue doing them, sometimes what happens is sometimes either the pastor or the church decide, well, we're not sure we really want to do that at this point in time, or we're not sure that we want to do it at all. And that is so sad because, again, remember, every one of us should be aggressive about standing for life. Why is it important to be aggressive? Because aggressive believers, God will use them to save babies as well as help bring the tragedy of abortion in our nation to an end. On the other hand, when we're laid back and feel like it's no big deal and it's not that important, babies die. Babies die. And it's important for us to do what we do, not just for ourselves, but for our children and our grandchildren. You know, we live in a culture where lots of children and adults realize that they had brothers or sisters who were aborted who aren't here because dad or mom decided to abort, cousins or relatives who aren't here. I'm reminded of an instance sometime back when my wife, Birdie, was doing a children's message in church one day, and she was talking to a group of small children, elementary-age children. She wasn't talking about abortion. She was talking about, she was asking them, what are you thankful for? And they were telling them the usual things. I'm thankful for my mom, my dad, for my house, my family, those sorts of things. But then two of the children, two little boys, made the statement, I'm thankful my mama didn't abort me. Well, what a tragedy that we live in a society where even small children, as well as older children and adults, realize that they could have been aborted, yet that's the world we live in. But again, it's all the more reason why we, the church, need to stand up and recognize that this issue is a huge issue in the heart and in the world. It's a huge issue in the heart of God. It's a huge issue in our culture. But thank God that, again, I'm just grateful to the Lord that, again, the president-elect is someone who's indicated he wants to stand against the tragedy of abortion. And for all the people that voted who felt like this was not a big deal, that's a tragedy too, because it is a big deal to God. And if it's a big deal to God, it should be a big deal to us as well if we say we love Jesus Christ as well. So it's important then for each of us as believers to do our part. I want to remind you about a tool I like to encourage believers to get, because any believer can put it to use. We call it the Dear Parent Letter. It's a letter that can be downloaded from the Justice Foundation website, the Justice Foundation. Or I tell you, I'm going to give you my email. If you'd like to get a copy of the letter, I would be glad to email it to you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. Well, the letter simply explains to a parent that it's against the law. For example, if the girl wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for a dad or a mom or anybody to try to coerce her to get an abortion. If the woman is an adult, obviously, if it's a boyfriend or even a husband that's trying to coerce her to get an abortion, that's against the law. And so if you'd like to get a copy of the letter, please email us, and we'd be glad to send it to you. Post it in your church. Send it to your local high school and middle school to put in the hands of high school counselors, principals, because lots of people don't know the law. And the fact is, if more people knew the law, it would save a lot of babies, because many people don't realize how common it is that parents will force teenage girls who are pregnant to get abortions, and it brings so much devastation. In fact, it's when that happens in a family, it's kind of like tossing a grenade in that family, because there's so much collateral damage. But if more people knew the law, it would save a lot of babies. So again, if you'd like to get a copy of the letter to distribute it, I'd be glad to email it. And when you get it, you can email it to a dozen of your friends, two dozen of your friends. And you know, if you send it far and wide, you're going to, amongst other things, you're going to save babies. You are going to save babies. So I would encourage you, please take time to do that. But it's called the Dear Parent Letter. And also, I want to share, I like to share this story. Our time is just about gone. But some time ago, I got a phone call. And to this day, it was outside of the sovereignty of God. Don't know how it happened. But I got a phone call from a 17-year-old girl in a large city far, far away from North Mississippi. And she said, I'm scheduled to get an abortion tomorrow. My parents have scheduled it. I want to keep my baby. Can you help me? Well, all we did was we emailed her a copy of the Dear Parent Letter that explained that it's against the law. Well, the next day, didn't hear from the young lady right away, so I was a little concerned, and I called. And when I called the young lady, she was 17 years old. She was at the abortion clinic. Her mom had taken her there. I asked her, had she shown her mom the letter? And she said, no. I said, encourage her, please show her the letter. Well, later in the day, we did hear back from her. And thank God she showed her mom the letter, and the clinic workers realized we can't do this abortion because she doesn't want to. Mom was not happy, but the abortion didn't take place. They did do an ultrasound on the young lady, and they come to find out she was carrying twins. So the Holy Spirit used the letter to save not just one baby that day, but two babies were saved because the Holy Spirit was able to use that letter to save the baby's lives. Again, it's a simple tool, but if you get the tool and send it to your local schools, send it to your local police departments, because often police don't even know the law. I know of a real instance in the city of Memphis where some sidewalk counselors saw a woman pulling her daughter into an abortion clinic. They called the police arrived. Their initial thoughts were, there's nothing we can do. They thought it was legal. But then they showed the policeman the letter, and the policeman immediately hurried into the abortion clinic to try to get the mom and the daughter, because he realized, based on what the letter said, what that mom was doing was illegal. Again, if you want to get a copy of the Dear Parent letter, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. Or simply, again, go to the Justice Foundation, and you can download it directly from that legal website as well. But please get involved with Standing for Life. Again, find out where your local pregnancy clinic is. Pray for them. Volunteer. Help raise money to help them, because, again, the work they do is so, so important. Lord, thank you for the chance. Thank you for the chance for all of us, the president and all the rest of us, to be your vessels to be used to get your work done. Help us today and every day to be about our Father's business, and help us to be aggressively students and vessels that God, that you can use every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We've been looking at the topic of being about our Father's business. Hope that you'll be a student of the Word of God who's reading the Word daily, praying daily, and obeying daily. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.